Sounding fucking good.
Really?
I think so.
Great.
Great, baby.
Okay.
Okay.
What'd you say?
Ah. What? It's outrageous.
You're outrageous.
Thank you very much.
Outrageously good looking.
Oh, you tart.
It must be that t-shirt you're wearing.
Hello! And welcome to episode 12 of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure.
Wow, episode 12.
Episode 12, yeah.
Well, yeah, welcome, as Darren says. My name is Matt.
And my name is Darren.
And this week we're looking at...
Ooh, 1986's Aliens. Yeah. So strap yourself in, it's going to be a scary ride.
Yeah, it was a scary ride. Confession time.
Oh.
It was the first time I'd seen it.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, I didn't realise that either. I thought I must have seen Aliens, yeah. But I think I've just seen the famous scenes in like loads of clip shows and things. Right. And I was like, yeah, watching it. It was a new film to me.
Good. Well, I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah, it was. There was lots of twists and turns. I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting this. That's great. Nice.
That's great, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we'll find out as we go along exactly what you thought of it.
We certainly will.
Yeah.
But, we certainly will.
So as we said before, it's from 1986. So, have you got any facts for us this week?
Oh, I might have one or two.
Yeah. Right, and then let's rewind to 1986.
Okay, some facts from 1986. On May the 25th, approximately 5 million people joined hands from New York City to Long Beach, California, and the human chain sought to raise awareness and money to fight hunger and homelessness.
Oh, okay.
That's cool, right?
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
No. Mike Tyson won his first title fight, so he became a heavyweight champion.
Wow.
1985.
Yeah, he was a scary fucker, wasn't he?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think I've still got a t-shirt upstairs from 1988's, I think it's 88's Bruno and Tyson fight.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, I've actually got a t-shirt from there. It won't fit me anymore, of course. Unlike these gorgeous 80s adventure t-shirts that we're wearing right now.
We're wearing right now.
We are, yeah.
Have you got yours yet? You bloody better get them.
Oprah launched her first television talk show.
Okay.
I mean, that goes back quite a while then, doesn't it?
Yeah, but she does seem to have been around forever. You know, not being funny.
No. She's, bless Oprah. And as we are talking about space in this episode, can you guess where I'm going with this?
Oh, is there anything to do with a bunch of kids on a shuttle?
No, actually.
Is it a bad shuttle thing?
No, it's to do with Halley's Comet.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, it was Halley's Comet made an appearance, and the next time it's going to make an appearance is 2061.
Well, we'll probably still be doing this on a Sunday
night. Yeah, of course
we will.
You know, I'll be 83 years old.
So that means I'll be 87. Well, it's possible.
Well, listen, if you are listening in 2061...
Jeez, can you imagine?
I know, right?
87.
It'll be like Darren and Matt's 2010s adventure or something like that.
It's only 40 years away.
Oh, okay. So those are my facts for 1986.
Nice. Nothing British again. I'm going to start finding you for that. All right. Right. Well, yeah, that's 86. That was the year I started secondary school.
Whoa, wow.
Hated every minute of it. Not every minute, that's unfair.
So I believe you've got some charts for us. I'm looking forward to this one.
Oh, you want
to
hear a chart rundown?
I do want to hear a chart rundown.
Okay, then. Aliens was released in the USA on the 14th of July 1986, and so this is the UK Top 10 for the week commencing 13th of July 1986. At number 10, climbing a massive 30 places from 40, it's Christopher and Lady in Red. At number 9, down 4 places from number 5, it's Amazulu and Too Good to Be Forgotten. At number 8, it's a non-mover for Bananarama and Venus. And at number 7, down 3 places from number 4, it's the House Martins and Happy Hour. At number 6, up 16 places from 22, it's UB40 and Sing Our Own Song. Into the top 5, down 2 places from number 3, it's Wham and The Edge of Heaven. At number 4, down 1 place, it's Owen Paul, My Favourite Waste of Time. And at number 3, up 3 places from last week's number 6, it's Sly Fox and Let's Go All the Way. At number 2, it's another climber from 17, it's Rod Stewart, Every Beat of My Heart. which means that number one is a non-mover for Madonna and Papa Don't Preach. And that was the UK Top 10 for the week commencing 13th of July 1986.
That's not a bad week in the charts, that one.
That's a very good chart, isn't it?
I mean, it starts with what, Lady in Red, wasn't it?
Lady in Red, climbing 30 places.
That's right, isn't it?
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Great chart. So, listen, before we go into to Aliens,
yeah,
we've had a lot of people mention us this week on other podcasts.
Yeah, so it's been great.
It's really nice. We'd love to give a shout out to Chris and Mike at Superhero Slate. They wrote to them because we've been listening for a while, and they gave us a nice shout out and said they're going to check out the show, which was lovely.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hope you're enjoying it. We're enjoying yours, definitely.
And also a shout out to John and Mark at Jamcast. Now, we connected over Twitter, and they are very, very funny guys. So I recommend you listen to their show. Listen to Jamcast. It's very random, isn't it?
Very random, but really, really funny.
Really funny.
It's just two mates talking, and I think you'll love it.
Yeah, one day. Boys, let's all get a beer together. I think that would be carnage.
And then a few whiskeys. That would definitely be carnage. Yes, thanks, guys. Thanks for giving us a mention. Check them out.
We really love listening to different podcasts and stuff like that. So, yeah, great. So, Aliens then, buddy.
Aliens, yeah. Mr. James Macaroon, as Francis Saunders nicknamed him.
James Macaroon.
Yeah. It's a bloody good film, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
It's a real good, I know we say it all the time, balls out action movie.
And also, I mean, I've made a lot of notes on this as well. He's not afraid to take his time, old Jim Cameron, is he?
No, he isn't.
And that's a really good thing. He kept me enthralled the entire film. It was just brilliant. I can't believe I've never watched it.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that. I thought, you know, this being especially a James Cameron film, it would have been, you know, one of the ones you'd gone to pretty much straight away.
I thought I must have seen it.
Yeah, I thought you did as well.
I remember having Aliens 3, a dodgy copy.
There's no such thing, is there?
We all had dodgy copies of films, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
But Aliens 3, obviously a very, very different film. And this is very different to Alien from what I remember, if I've actually seen Alien. I don't know. I'm questioning my whole existence now.
You must have seen Alien.
I'm sure I have, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll never find out for the podcast. It's just like 3-4 months too early.
It is. But yeah, it was brilliant. I'm looking forward to trying summing it up.
Well, yeah, you got a nice amount of time to do this one as well, haven't you? So you shouldn't be too worried, I don't think.
Okay, well, we'll see.
Well, then, shall we go deeper into the Xenomorphs then?
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That was very, like, was it Frankie Howard?
Well, as long-term listeners will know, at this point in the podcast, it's Matt's challenge to sum up the story. However long the film is in minutes, that's how many seconds he gets to tell us. And if he fails, he has to drink. If he does it, then I have to drink. So, just let me grab me timing doodah.
You mean a stopwatch?
Oh God, just so conventional. So yeah, Matt, how long is the film?
The film comes in at 2 hours and 17 minutes.
So therefore, you get 2 minutes and 17 seconds to give us the synopsis.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's have the jingle. And you're off.
Ripley is inadvertently rescued by a salvage crew and when back on Earth, Burke, while returning her cat, tells her that she's been in stasis for the past 57 years. She's clearly suffering with her last encounter and is plagued by nightmares of the alien she encountered. Following this, there is an inquiry where Ripley tells them that the planet should be avoided and they tell her that there are terraformers currently residing there and her pleas fall on deaf ears. Burke and Lieutenant Gorman visit Ripley at her apartment and inform her there has been an outbreak on the planet. They know she's been working, running forklifts and things like that, but they wanted to go on a rescue mission as an advisor. She refuses until those pesky nightmares resume and she agrees. We then cut to the ship going through space with Ripley and the Marines coming out of stasis, and after some banter and Ripley being mistrustful of the synthetic, we arrive at the planet. They go down on the dropship and take the APC to an entrance. It's a bloody mess inside and we see in the lab there's been some face huggers in glass jars. They discover a survivor, a little girl who likes to go by Newt, and she bonds with Ripley. Hudson finds the tracking chips of the colonists, which lead them to a nuclear reactor, and once they're in it, they find it's a hive for aliens. One of the colonists is still alive until an alien pops out of her chest and she's then barbecued. The aliens now attack, and it's a battle to live, with only a few making it back to the APC, and after a big argument, Ripley convinces Hicks, who is now the ranking officer, that nuking the planet is the best option, much to the disdain of Burke. However, when the dropship is being summoned, an alien that snuck aboard kills the pilot, thus making it crash on the APC. Oh shit. They hold up in the colony complex and come up with a plan to get the second dropship, which involves going outside, which Bishop signs up for. All the while, Burke is being a dick and wanted to take aliens back to Earth. In fact, he manages to lock Ripley and Newt in a medical bay with two facehuggers. They get rescued, and it's not long before the aliens attack again, this time coming through the ceiling. They escape, and Newt falls through a ventilation shaft. They find her, but she's taken by an alien. Hicks is wounded, Ripley drops him off with Bishop before arming herself and going to get Newt, who has the tracker that was given to Ripley earlier. She rescues Newt, flamethrower throws to the Queen, who's laid her fresh eggs, all of which want to make sexy time with human faces. Newt and Ripley make to the dropship as the facility explodes below them due to the unstable reactor. Back on the ship, we're in for a shock as the Queen alien has stowed herself away on the dropship, tears Bishop in two. Ripley goes to war with her, wearing the loader she used earlier. After a furious battle, the Queen is launched into space, and Ripley prepares Hicks, Newt, and what's left of Bishop for hypersleep as the film ends.
Okay. God, that was a mammoth story, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay, are you ready?
Yep.
You did it in... drumroll. 2 minutes, 29 seconds.
Too much detail.
No, I think that's about right. Yeah, that was good. It was only 12 seconds over.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah. That sums up the film. He's drinking already.
Yes, I am. Yeah, sorry.
That's fine, yeah. Well, yeah, that sums up the film. And I guess that's the point of that little section.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the film then, shall we?
Let's do that.
God damn. We did actually have a little counter last night, how many goddams there were in the film.
How many goddams?
Well, there's at least 13, but I think there's like one in the background 14th as well.
That is
every
amazing.
Time we came out, one, two, three. Yeah, there's a lot of goddams in this film.
Good.
And apparently, looking at some of the trivia, there's over 20 fucks.
Oh.
Stated.
Oh, right, not, stated.
Not,
yeah,
not,
I was
not
say,
sexy times.
I had to really get sexy time sort of shoehorned in there, didn't I?
Yeah, nice.
There's a lot, isn't there? Like, I mean, I've wrote a couple of notes, things like, something I wrote when I was watching it is, a lesser director would not have gone so deep into the smaller moments.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Although what I remember from the Ridley Scott, from the original as well, that was very... they're very creeping rather than it was a different monster because it was more about the encroaching menace. Mm-hmm. Whereas this sort of has that, but then it's all action.
Yeah, so the first one's not so much action, is that right?
It's more horror,
and I think this one sort of strikes a balance between the both.
Yeah, it does. There's nothing more to, yeah, that's exactly what it does. Yeah, and written by James Cameron himself as well.
He's always good, though. I mean, we both love Titanic, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, and
I'm not scared to say that.
No, I mean, neither.
I don't care.
I'm just, the only thing I'm gutted about is we can't do it on the podcast.
Yeah. We could do Raise the Titanic. I think that was the end. Yeah, or maybe not.
The effects.
Superb. Well,
There was one dodgy effect that I clocked, but I thought everything was so practical and it looked amazing. It could have been filmed this year.
Mm. I mean, the practical stuff is definitely... it stands up really, really well. For me, it was the CSO stuff, the chromium, the whatever you want to call it, blue screen, green screen, whatever you want to call it. That for me looks really ropey. There's a lot of fringing, so that definitely shows its age. But I mean, the practical, the aliens themselves and stuff like that.
Wow,
and the sets. I think it's absolutely superb.
I believe it was Stan Winston, wasn't it? He did a lot of stuff with James Cameron.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and there was a lot of... there's a lot of Terminator there, isn't there?
So much. I've got loads of notes about, oh, that's a Terminator thing. The vehicles look like Terminator vehicles.
Yeah, they
vehicles.
Do, don't they?
There's the whole Hyperdyne, Cyberdyne thing.
Hyperdyne.
Well, that's what he...
I didn't clock that.
Did you not?
I did not clock Hyperdyne and Cyberdyne.
Yeah. Bishop is made by Hyperdyne rather than Cyberdyne.
Oh.
Yeah.
It would have been cool though if it had been Cyberdyne in it.
I think because I watched the documentary on that Blu-ray afterwards, and I'm pretty sure they wanted it to be that originally, but had to change it.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, the only dodgy effect that I clocked was when the spaceship is flying into the opening at the end. I was like, oh, that's not aged well. But I mean, for a film that's 34 years old, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it still stands up really, really well.
Amazing. The puppetry is so... I mean, that's, again, like we're saying, everything is practical, and that's what makes a film hold up.
And they've really thought everything out really well. You know, the way the aliens, when they're running through the ducts and things, the way they filmed it, apparently...
You said running through ducts. I was like...
when they're running through Daffy and Donald. Yeah. Apparently what they did, they basically had a shaft, come on. We've had one can so far. They had, I'm going to say it again, they had a shaft and the camera was at the bottom facing up. And the stuntmen in the Xenomorph costumes would be at the top on wires and just sort of drop down towards the camera. And it works so well.
Oh, really nice. Yeah. I don't know if we watched the same documentary.
Right. Well, this one went on for 3 hours and then I stopped it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a lot of accidents on set and things.
Yeah.
Well, the ones I've got are the ceiling of the jump ship caving in.
Mm-hmm.
The brakes failing on the APC and crashing into the cameras.
Yeah. Which was one of those things that pulls aeroplanes
down.
That's amazing. And when you look at it now, you go, of course it fucking is. Yeah, you can see it straight away.
This is, imagine next trip to Mallorca, we just look out the window, oh, it's an APC, that, yeah.
75 tons of lead inside that, yeah.
I watched that whole bit about when they were the face huggers.
How to animate them.
Yeah, and they were like on little wires. And then when they had the face hugger jumping up, James Cameron ran it in reverse. So they had him pulling it off. And then,
When it's the two of them in the lab.
Yes.
Yes, going on to the, Yeah, amazing. It's so simple.
It's just genius though, isn't it? Really works.
Just shows that he knows his craft, I suppose.
He's just such a good filmmaker.
He doesn't come across as like the nicest, most tolerant person from some of the stories.
Yeah, I guess he's probably very focused and driven on a single sort of...
Yeah. I thought he came across as a bit of a twat, but...
I can't say though. I mean, can you name a bad James Cameron film?
The End of the Abyss.
You Ridiculous. Like The Abyss though, don't you?
It's all right. Apart from the stupid ending. Cop out.
And next week's on Darren Matt Space Adventure, we're doing The Abyss. yes, so there was so much stuff. A little bit of trivia. Apparently, Ripley's bathroom in her apartment is actually a British Airways toilet.
And you can see it. You can see it. Yeah, although I think it's a bit bigger than a normal, well, it's bigger than fucking EasyJet.
Well, that's, anything's bigger than EasyJet toilet.
Well, not Ryanair. They might as well piss in a thimble. Never again.
The eggs, really combustible, aren't they?
Yeah, really are. Yeah, that is without a doubt.
That's the cool thing. She's got Newt. She's going out. She's rescued Newt and she went, oh, no, fuck it. I'm going to go and set fire to it all.
But yeah, I mean, I really like that bit. Mm. It's that sort of face-off and the little warden shot, which caused the two Xenomorphs off. The queen goes, okay, fuck that. She means business, back. And then she just fucking burns them anyway. But I like the fact that, I mean, we'll go into the characters later. I like that Ripley just doesn't just become another gun-toting G.I. Jane. She's still terrified. She's still a mother. And she doesn't become, you know, that like I say, the all-American gung-ho, let's wipe everything out.
Yeah, you say about the mother things, but I think that's what was cut out of the theatrical edition, wasn't it? Yeah. Where you find out that her daughter has died of cancer a couple of years before or something,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, well, in the first film, she leaves, I think her daughter's 11 years old when she first goes off in the Nostromo, if I remember right. And by the time she comes back, because it's not actually stated in this version, in the theatrical version of the film, that it is 57 years. It's only in her nightmare. It's never actually stated anywhere else. Which, I don't know if that was intentional to just leave it out or...
Imagine that, though, waking up and finding you've been asleep for 57 years. And you're like, oh my God.
57 minutes at the moment would be nice. Jeez.
Just imagine just sticking a few hundred in a bank account. Stocks and shares, something like that.
Yeah.
Newt had a Goonies slide.
Yes, she did. Yeah.
As soon as I saw that bit, I was like, oh!
Nice. Yeah, I would like to have a go on that slide as well. Apparently, again, I'm going to refer a lot to the documentary that I saw on that Blu-ray. She got a little bit of a telling off from Mr. Cameron because she enjoyed the slide so much. She would fuck up the queue every now and then just to be able to do it again.
That's cool. That's
Can't
really
say
cool.
I blame her. Can't say I blame her at all.
What else we got about the film then?
Well, I mean, it's like you say, I mean, there's so many shots that just he thinks things through so carefully. There's one at the beginning where they find her in the rescue ship, and you just see the outline of her face on the screen, and that slowly dissolves to the planet, and it's the same shape. It's her face becomes the planet, and it's just simple little things like that. The cinematography is really good.
Yeah, he's it's just a really well put together film.
Yeah, it's true. So I'm guessing the film was sponsored by Reebok at some point.
Oh, a little bit of product placement, was
it? Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Their shoes suddenly appear in lovely little close up with a Reebok emblazoned across.
Oh, I see. I don't notice stuff like that sometimes. I'm the worst person.
Oh, thank God for
product placement.
I should have put that in the quiz, shouldn't I?
Yeah, I don't notice product placement so much.
I like the fact that, you know, even though it's a new production team and a new writer and everything, it's still obviously the same universe as the original film.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. I mean, the Xenomorphs have a slightly redesigned head, but it's still obviously the same sort of design and...
Same sort of breed or something like
that. Yeah. But, yeah, so I like that.
So I'm guessing we only saw one alien in Alien.
And in this, there's, as you would say... A fuck ton of them.
I mean, that was scary, wasn't it? Sort of looking around and going, oh no, it's all going to kick off now, isn't it?
But it's the fact they blend in so well to the nest. And then all of a sudden, one of them just moves. And like, oh, fuck. Yeah, it's really well made.
And it was filmed in Pinewood, wasn't it?
Filmed at Pinewood Studios, yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, which was another bone of contention, apparently, for Mr. Macaroon. Yeah, he didn't like the working practices of the British crew. Obviously, we have tea breaks and stuff. Our unions are very, very good, and we get tea breaks every now and then and a long lunch break. And at that point, you go to the pub for a beer and your lunch and then come back, and you didn't work 14, 16-hour days all the time. You had Sundays off, and he didn't like that. And I thought also, from looking at the documentary, they were very loyal to Ridley Scott, who'd made Alien at Pinewood as well. And they hadn't seen... And they hadn't seen Terminator yet. He tried to do a showing of Terminator to say, you know, this is what I've done. And they basically just ignored him and didn't go and see it. So it wasn't a very nice atmosphere by the sounds of it.
I think there was something very similar, wasn't there, with Star Wars in the 70s?
Yes, yeah.
And Lucas coming across and everyone's kind of going, what is this crap that we're making?
What is this shit we're making?
Yeah. And we know how that turned out.
Yeah. Disappeared, never to be seen again.
Never to be seen again.
So yeah, Ripley ends up fired, basically, or demoted and working in a lowly paid position just moving stuff around in a warehouse, basically, isn't it? And then Mr. What is his name in Beverly Hills Cop?
Billy. No,
is it Billy?
No, it's not Billy. It's,
I should have maybe looked into that a bit more.
No, do you know what? Let's not look this up. It'll come to us at some point.
Okay. And this is not my locker. So, yeah, what a smarmy little fucker he is.
I love that actor as well, though, because I remember him in My Two Dads.
Blimey, yeah.
Yeah, Paul. Is it Reza or Ryza?
I think it's Reza.
Yeah.
I'm not basing that on anything.
But we'll talk about him later. But he's got a touch of the Michael J. Fox about him, isn't he?
Yes, he has. Except he's really smarmy in this. Fucker.
Yes, fucker. I love the way the alien gets an elevator.
Yeah.
They go up in the elevator and the alien's right behind them. Yeah. Next floor, please.
Floor four. Yeah. How does she fit? Because she's fucking massive. I know she like rips her egg sack off or whatever you call it. But she's got a massive tail.
Conversations for a Sunday night. She ripped her egg sack off.
Ouchies. But yeah, I mean, there's a few little things that don't really stand up like that. But
all right, let's look at this. How does it work? Right. So you got an alien. They have a queen, and the queen gives birth to these little eggs, and in the eggs are the face huggers. Yeah.
Yep.
Then the face huggers have to find a human or a host.
Yeah.
And then they impregnate the host, it bursts out, and then they grow into full-size aliens. Yeah, that's the biology of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I was just asking
why lay the egg in the first place?
Yeah.
Actually, that's a good point. So they lay an egg, and then the face hugger lays an egg as well. I never thought of it like that. So what is the point of the face hugger?
I don't know. Maybe there's some... Well, there's bound to be major Aliens fans out there that will tell us, look, guys, you're being stupid because of this, and this, and we just haven't looked into it enough. Yeah. But
or maybe it's like maybe it's like a pupal stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's the way to look at it. So the face hugger is like the caterpillar.
Yeah.
And that has to find somewhere to change.
Are you about to compare an alien to a butterfly?
I guess so. It's nature, isn't it? Nature and nurture.
Mm-hmm.
God, I'm talking shite here. but, you know, yeah, talking of the face huggers, isn't that model where Bishop is dissecting it in the lab?
Oh,
it's fantastic. It looks really good. It doesn't look like a lump of plastic or whatever at all.
No, I think they used bits from a butcher shop or something. I think we must watch the same documentary.
I think you're right, yeah. It's a good documentary, though. It's nice and honest.
Yeah, really interesting. Yeah. Then let me down like a Cameron rabbit hole and I end up watching loads about Avatar. He always pushes the envelope. He always pushes things a bit further, and that's what I love about James Cameron.
And nice to see that smoking is now curable.
Yes. Everyone's smoking. Obviously, they didn't get the technology quite right with mobile phones and things like that. Mm. So you put a card into a machine and you get Skype or Google Hangouts.
Bad Skype.
Yeah.
I do expect to see a woman pop up behind him. Come out of bed, honey. There's a lot of body horror in the film, which I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like the woman when they find her alive in the nest.
And they barbecue her.
Yeah. Yeah, but not to the fact that the alien comes out of her chest again as well. Which
we can save her. No, we can't.
Not now. She's fucked. Yeah. So, but again, it's all practical effects as well. And it's really impressive and it stands up. The only thing for me, like I said before, it doesn't stand up are things like the ship's flying and stuff like that.
I mean, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the iconic fight. I've obviously seen the shots where Ripley's in the exosuit or whatever else, but that fight was I personally was shocked when the alien was on the ship, because I thought it was over. The film was over when they left the planet. I went, maybe it's another film that she wears the suit in or something.
Yeah, but I'd forgotten about the line, get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah,
I was expecting it when they were down on the planet. I was like, oh, maybe it's the third one then. I'm not sure it was that. The ripping apart of Bishop is really impressive.
I jumped. I was like, oh no, I was not expecting it. I genuinely was shocked.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. The practical effects. I mean, you can see why they went over time, which fucked up Mr. Horner slightly, but we'll get to that later.
Right.
And there's so many aliens this time. They're everywhere. And like I said just now, the fact they blend into the scenery and then move behind a character is fantastic.
And it's a huge universe, isn't it? I mean, there's the whole Alien Predator universe is all the same. So there's a lot of lore that goes into it now that we're sort of skirting over here, because we're watching it as two people that have... Well, you've seen Aliens before. I've never seen it. Yeah. And it's I don't know. I feel like I'm gushing about it, but I feel like I've just discovered a really good film.
Yeah, and I think you probably have.
Well, anything else to say on
I'm sure more will come out as we talk about the characters.
Yeah, as we get into the character. And then we need to remember which Paul Reiser played in Beverly Hills Cop, which we talked about. What,
it's Jimmy?
Is it Jimmy?
Get the fuck out of here, Jimmy.
No, I don't know. Well, let's take a quick break and talk about the characters. Daz, have you heard of Patreon?
No.
Well, back along, you could become a patron of a show, etc. You can do exactly the same thing now, but in a modern twist.
What, like for our show?
Yeah, for our show, yeah.
Okay, tell me more.
So what you can do is support us by signing up to patreon.com/80sadventure. There's four different tiers at the moment.
But people pay and that enables us to do...
Yeah, we're more stuff, but yeah, also great. There's rewards for them as well, ranging, you know, from a very small reward right up to bigger rewards and a lot more fun content from us.
So what could people get in return?
You can get early access, you can get your name on your website as a supporter,
nice.
You can get a vote on one of the episodes we do each month.
What, people actually get to vote on what film?
Yeah, and also maybe a Q&A, something like that. Have a few drinks with us.
Fantastic.
So all you have to do is head to patreon.com/80sadventure.
I'm on my way now. Bye!
And we're back.
Yes, we're back. We've had a little break, a very short break this time, and straight on with the cast, I suppose.
Mm, yeah, good cast, really good cast.
On the whole, a good cast.
On your whole. And I've got a little bit of alternate casting for you.
Ooh, I like this, go on then.
So the only character I really clocked that was recast was Hicks?
Yes.
Yeah. James Remar.
James Remar.
So apparently when he was first fired, it was creative differences, but later on it was the fact he was caught in the possession of drugs.
Oh, really? Is that definite, though? We don't want to
allegedly, he was caught in the possession of drugs. I think he did cop to it, but he was fired. Michael Benn got the call on a Friday night asking him to take over the role of Hicks, and he was in London by Monday. So yeah,
that's the way to do it.
But he's great, though.
He's superb.
Should we start with him?
Okay, then.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Marines to talk about, isn't there?
Yes, there are.
And I loved him from Terminator. He looks really... It's weird. He looks younger in this than he did in Terminator, but he was older.
Well, yeah. He looks great. Such a... he looks like your classic sort of leading romantic man, doesn't he?
I didn't know if they were going to push it that way, actually. Mm. with Ripley, because there was a bit of chemistry there, wasn't there? Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The fact he sided with her rather than
Burke.
Yeah. Yeah. He's superb. Absolutely superb.
You did root for him, though. You wanted him to make it.
Yes.
And I'm glad he did.
Yeah, me too. I mean, there are a few others I'm glad didn't. But
well, I'm not upset that the rest of them went. I wanted him to survive,
yeah.
And also I wanted the android to survive as well, the synth.
Yeah, yeah. I think the ones that you, like you say, you rated for the most, they did make it, which was good.
So he's good. All right, so you were saying you had stuff to say about the Marines. Go on.
Yeah. I think this is the bit in the script that, for me, lets it down. I think the two cartoony, meathead, redneck Marines... And as much as I hate saying it, because I really, really like the guy, Bill Paxton is awful.
You think he's miscast in this?
I think he's... I think he just needs reining in. I think he's so over the top. He's melodramatic. He's too cartoony for me. And I just don't think he's a very good actor in this. I have to say, and like I say, it pains me to say it because I really like him as a guy.
Oh, I love him. He's such a, yeah.
And it's the second film in not very long that I've seen him in that he's made me cringe. I think he's also really cringeworthy in Weird Science.
Oh, well, we'll get to that.
Yes. Yes, we will. Yes, we will.
But we'll get to that. But I mean, he was also in Terminator as well, wasn't he?
Was he?
At the very beginning of Terminator, he's one of the punks that Arnie walks up to.
Right. See, I haven't seen that film for probably 10 or 12 years.
I think he gets killed by Arnie at the beginning of the film.
Right, okay.
I didn't have a problem myself with Bill Paxton. I can imagine that sort of character existing. It's just, I think to a degree, the Marines had to be there to be picked off. There was a lot, they didn't get a lot of character development. Absolutely. And that's okay, but they didn't need it.
Yeah, and absolutely. I know that they are they're just fodder to prove how bad the aliens are. I just think it all comes down to his performance rather than anything else. And it just the delivery of some of the lines, the wild-eyed looniness, it's just a bit, all right, Bill, can we just take that down a notch? It was just a bit too much.
Okay.
I think. For me personally.
What about the sergeant?
Yeah, well, that's the other one as well. Is it Apone?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Now, he served, didn't he?
I think he was actually... I think he was actually a sergeant like that, wasn't he, in the war.
But I think, yeah, he really took command on set as well, trying to keep that role up.
Yeah, when you said about the roof caving in, one of the accidents, he apparently took charge instantly, was barking orders at the rest of the cast.
I heard that.
So, you know, his training kicked in. But again, I think the performance is a little bit arch, let's put it that way.
Okay. Well, I mean, they went, well, no, actually saying that, Paxton stayed on for a while, but he went pretty early, didn't he, Sergeant Apone?
Yes. Yeah.
What about there was Gorman?
Gorman, yep. Well played, incredibly sweaty. a guy completely out of his depth. Yeah, that's a good character.
He's the one that that's his second time in active.
Yeah. It's all been theory, if you like.
Yeah, he's done 36 drops or something. Yeah, two.
None of them have actually been real.
Yeah, this is yeah. How many real two?
Yeah,
including this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really what you want to hear when you're heading down to an alien planet, is it? Or a planet with aliens?
No, exactly. Not in a mission like this. Completely out of his depth, and it shows. He just doesn't know what the fuck he's doing.
Vasquez,
yeah, Janelle from Terminator 2.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What, you know, it's such a different look in what, 6 years?
Mm.
Yeah, but I do like her. Again, I think she's a little bit stereotypical. We're going to make a strong woman. But I think she's great.
I think, do you know what? That's one thing Cameron has always been an advocate of, though, isn't it? Is having a strong female characters and things like that. So I applaud him for that. It was cool, man. The fact that gun she had as well.
It's an awesome piece of work, isn't it? It was made out of like bike parts and handlebars.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And a Steadicam setup. Yeah, it's a heavy piece of kit. There were two of them, weren't there? Because who was the other guy? Was it Drake that had one as well? Mm-hmm. And she was saying in the documentary that like he's a foot and a half taller than her and like 40 pounds meatier and he could handle it just like that. But she was really struggling at times.
I mean, I'm looking at the cast list here and this. there's privates that I can't really remember.
Yeah, well, quite.
Like, do you remember Private Spunkmeyer?
Well, he was the, apart from having the most ridiculous name.
Well, no, do you remember there used to be, muffins called Otis Spunkmeyer Muffins? It's true. They used to serve them brilliant. In the theatre, Otis Spunkmeyer Muffins.
Brilliant. I mean, that's just, I mean, you wouldn't write that in, would you? You would not call someone Spunkmeyer.
So all the Spunkmeyers out there listening, we're really sorry.
Absolutely, yeah. No offence intended whatsoever. But, I mean, if you've had to live with that name, you must know exactly what we're laughing at.
But, I mean, I can't, sort of like there's Ferrero, there's Frost, there's Drake, and I can't remember a lot of these.
I think Spunkmeyer was the guy that was driving
the APC.
Or flying the plane when it crashed.
Oh, right, okay.
Him and the other woman, whose name I can't remember. Because she gets very, very little screen time. She basically just says, who's Snow White over there, doesn't she? Or she replies to the Snow White line.
Oh, Corporal Dietrich or something, I'm guessing.
Quite possibly. Or was that Pharaoh?
But there's more, saying is there's more Marines than I actually remember.
Yes.
Because you sort of remember a core few, don't you?
Yeah. But they're all very stereotypical, cartoony, poontang Marines.
Maybe, though, they made them quite over the top. Not... But their own little characteristics, because they haven't got a lot of time in order to which establish themselves. So it's kind of like, right, you be the loudmouth, you be this, you be that, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll get an instant idea what the characters are.
Yeah, I think for me, the problem was the ones that you mainly get to see, they're all loudmouths, apart from Hicks, who, like you say, you root for and you like and you're on his side. And maybe that was to do with, you know, maybe a lot of it was improvised. I don't know. I don't know. We weren't there, so we don't really know. For me, they're a bit too cartoony and over the top, but you know, they serve their purpose.
Well, we got some biggies to talk about then.
Yes.
So Bishop,
yeah, Lance Henriksen.
Don't you bash him?
Hey, yeah, don't get it. Yeah, no, he's superb, absolutely superb.
And he's one of those character actors that is really dependable, isn't he?
Yes.
You see him in lots of films, and yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he takes the character and just runs with it. He's got that weird, weird look, because he was saying that he wanted to have contact lenses which had two lots of pupils on. He used them for the scene where he's dissecting the facehugger. So he turns around and you can see like two pupils in his eye.
Oh.
But apparently Cameron said, you don't need them. You look fucking weird enough as it is.
Oh.
I think he said something like, with them, you look scarier than the Xenomorphs. So we'll lose them.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah. But he has that sort of weird sheen to his face. Sort of far away looking. I can't put my finger on exactly what it is, but he's a very strange looking guy and he's perfect for the part of Bishop.
And I love the whole... The way it
evolves. Oh, I love the whole.
The way it evolves with Ripley hating synthetics at the beginning and then Bishop winning her over.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I mean, after what happened in the first one, it's hardly surprising, is it? But but he's great. Absolutely great.
Right, Burke.
What a horrible snide. What a bastard. Knob. But he's not actually as snidey as some of those sort of characters in some of the films, is he?
He wants money.
Yeah.
That's what it is. He doesn't care.
He's very much working for the man, protecting their interests.
But I think he does cross... I mean, he really crosses the line. In order to smuggle an egg back, he wants to impregnate Ripley and Newt with a face hugger. And I'm like, that's evil.
It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Smarmy little fucker.
He is. And it hurts me because I love the actor as well.
But I mean, it just shows his versatility in Beverly Hills Cop. He's level, like saying,
what's
Dad's
his name in Beverly Hills Cop?
I'm sure it's Jimmy. I won't put...
I tell you, if we haven't figured this out by the time we get to quiz, we'll have a look.
Okay, then. Like you say, My Two Dads and everything. Because he's a bit of a comedian as well, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And he has a long-running show, like Mad About You or something.
Okay.
So, quite big. But yeah, he's just... I'd love to meet him, because he seems like such a nice guy.
Might be complete shit for all we know.
he might be horrible. But yeah, I mean, he was really good in this role, because... Yeah. I don't know, because I liked him, and I was like, please don't be nasty.
Yeah, don't turn into that guy.
Yeah, and he did.
And he does. Yeah.
And he dies.
Yes. But, you know, he locks him inside the lab for a start. That's fucking horrible. But when... because of that great bit where I think it's like Hicks and Hudson and Vasquez and Sigourney Weaver and the girl and Burke. That's the only ones that are left. And like, they're all around us, they're coming, there's like the 5 feet, 6 feet, 4 feet, whatever. and then they look up and look, and Hicks looks through the ceiling, and they're all coming towards them. That was just superb. Absolutely superb. And then, you know, as they're all running, he locks them in there with them. Hey, little fucker.
It surprises me that Cameron didn't let him survive. Because you imagine someone that's got that much... he's got that self-preservation instinct that he can imagine him finding his way somehow to the dropship and hiding in it or something like that.
Just shows what ruthless killing machines the Xenomorphs are.
Well, also, kids, the moral of the story in today's episode of Darren and Matt's 80s Adventure is if you lock some people in a room with face huggers, you will eventually die.
Yeah, and if you're nasty in an 80s movie, you're going to die.
You are going to die.
Remember that.
So, working our way up then, Newt.
Yeah, her only acting role, by all accounts.
I think she became a teacher or something after this?
Yeah.
But she was good.
Really good, really good. And I like the fact that she's a child in a movie, and she's not fucking annoying, because most kids really are.
You do get some child performances, yes, and they are annoying, but she is great. She's really great.
Probably the fact she's never been to child acting school and all that sort of bollocks. She doesn't have a pushy acting mother.
A showbiz mom.
Yeah. And, that probably helps, because I think her performance is very honest.
Yeah, and it's nice because she's, as you say, she's not annoying and you want her to live. And Ripley, it gives Ripley that impetus. I mean, as someone that, actually, this is why it would have been good to leave the daughter storyline in, because someone that's just lost her daughter, essentially, is now adopting another daughter. So I think that was a mistake, not having that daughter stuff in this cut.
But from what they were saying in the documentary, I think that's down to the studio rather than...
Oh, yeah, I definitely
Cameron.
Think it was
I think
the
they
studio.
Were saying, you know, don't make it too long. So you had to take out all these elements. You don't see them all on the planet in the first place, you know, when it's functioning properly.
I saw that. You saw Newt's family and things, didn't you?
Yeah, and they go and find the lair where the queen is, and that's when it all kicks off. And that's all been cut out, and... obviously it's put back for the James Macaroon's version.
But the thing is, all it needed was that one little scene where Burke says to Ripley, look, your daughter, she died a couple of years ago. It only needed that to give that little bit more motivation. I know it's only like an extra 30 seconds, but that would have made all the difference.
Exactly. And it, like you say, it gives her the impetus to become a mother again.
Yeah, just looking at it from actors' points of view, we're kind of going, yes, the motivation there is she is. She's caring.
There is one point in the film where Newt shouts out, mum, or something, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And then grabs hold of Ripley. It's great. It just brings out her maternal side. It's a really interesting character.
And, that leads us nicely into Ripley herself.
Dreadful. Cutter.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. She'll never work again.
She'll come to nothing, that one, I tell you. How great is Sigourney Weaver?
She's another one that I'm struggling to think of a bad performance.
I agree. I think she chooses her films very, very well. Mm-hmm. And she's just superb. Absolutely superb.
I think I glossed over some stuff earlier, where I think she was reluctant to return, but then...
Yeah, apparently a sequel had been on... Several sequels have been put to her, and she just didn't want to do them because she was worried about how the character was going to be taken forward. It wasn't until James Cameron took his script and talked her through it and whatever, she went, okay. But apparently, I think there was a bit of a contretemps about her fee again as well, wasn't there?
Oh, was there?
Yeah, she wanted too much money, apparently, and the studio went, no, we're not going to have that, it's too much. Because by that point she was a bankable star, wasn't she? So she could demand pretty much what she wanted.
Well, there was Alien, there was this was 86, wasn't it? So Ghostbusters 86. Was a couple of years old as well.
Yeah, I think she was filming. I can't remember what I said. She was filming at the time, but she finished like 4 weeks before the shoot was due to start on Aliens. So she said, well, that's my fee. The studio said no, Cameron, you're gonna have to rewrite it, write her out.
What?
And he apparently said no, either she's in or we just don't make the movie.
It would be pointless without her.
Exactly.
It would be like Predator 2, where they replace Arnie with Danny Glover.
I know, imagine that. That would be a ridiculous thing to do.
I know.
But, fair play to, if that's true, fair play to James Cameron for sticking to his guns. I think there was something about him and Gail Ann Hurd had just got married and had gone off on honeymoon.
Okay.
And he said, by the time we get back from honeymoon, if this isn't sorted, then I'm not rewriting it. We'll just cut it and move on to something else.
Brilliant. Yeah, hats off to James Cameron then.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she was really, really good. I mean, she's always a dependable star, if you like, anyway. But she's always very, very, very watchable.
And so in the moment, the bit where she's waiting on the lift to come down when she's got Newt wrapped around her towards the end, she is, she's in fifth gear all the time. Absolutely flat out. Each and every take, and that's not easy. Apparently they were filming in Acton in like February, in the middle of winter, in an old abandoned power station, and that was going to be fucking freezing. All she's wearing is trousers and a vest top. And full on all the time.
Yeah, no, she's hats off to Sigourney Weaver. She's absolutely brilliant. On a quick offshoot on that, where they went down to all the Hive and things like that.
Yeah.
Years later, it was used by another production company.
Yes.
So where they went into film, Axis Chemicals or something from Batman. Yeah. So there, and there were still remnants of the eggs. I know it's just an offshoot, but yeah. Sigourney Weaver, hats off, brilliant. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Anything more on the cast, Daz?
Yeah, the only thing I'm going to say is it's a bit of a downer, this one. First I'm going to say there's a few Doctor Who alumni in there.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. So you've got Rico Ross. He's the guy who talks about Poontang and he was in Doctor Who. Alib, I think that's the way you say your name. I apologise if that's wrong. Alib Parsons, she was in Doctor Who, and Tip Tipping, who is one of the Marines, was basically chief stuntman on Doctor Who in the '80s.
Oh,
and
wow!
If I remember rightly, apologies again if this is wrong. I think he's he lived in Plymouth at the time, and he was filming an episode of 999. Do you remember that? The old
I think I do. Yeah,
it was Michael Burke. I think he used to recreate accidents and stuff. And
a bit like Crime Watch, but
Crime Watch with accidents.
Yeah,
and he was filming an episode of that about a parachute jump that went wrong, and the parachute jump went wrong, and he died.
No.
Yeah.
Oh
no!
Goodness!
Yeah, I think he died very young, in like 93 or something like that.
So. Wowzers!
Yeah, so it's a bit of a downer, but I'll have a little drink to Tip Tipping then.
Yeah, it's a drink to Tip Tipping. I mean, well, let's actually raise a glass to the cast. It was a great cast.
On the whole,
if there's nothing more to say about that, how about we take a little break and then we come back for pub quiz?
Yeah.
What's going on? Are you all right, Daz?
I'm so cold.
Why are you so cold?
I've lost my favourite Def Leppard t-shirt. Oh, if only I knew somewhere else to buy another t-shirt.
Do you know what, Darren? It's funny you should say that because we now have 80s Adventure t-shirts.
What?
Yeah. All you got to do is head over to 80sadventure.com, click shop and see what we have on offer. It's a way of supporting the show and there's also some fun designs with a lovely 80s feel.
80s Adventure t-shirts. I'm going to go to the shop right now. Bye.
Darren, it's an online shop.
And we're back. Yes, part three of our in-depth discussion about Aliens.
Yeah, I'm enjoying this because it's a good film to talk about, isn't it?
It's a new one for our podcast as well.
Yeah, we've not done anything of this ilk.
No, not this serious. Not this scary.
Serious or scary? Well, yeah. Speaking of serious or scary, we'll get to the quiz shortly.
That is scary now
because we're on our second round. And
yeah. Can you remember who won last week?
You did.
Did I?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, that's good.
I love the fact that you can't remember.
Well, we do drink a lot.
Yes, we do.
That's all I'm saying.
So yeah, you're in the lead so far.
Sweet.
I'm saying like I know, but I'm pretty sure. So the music then.
Yes. Another James Horner and James McAroon collaboration.
James Horner was fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. The plane thing.
Yes.
I keep forgetting about that. That's a real shame.
He's written so many great scores over the years.
So many great scores. But only three, I think, with James Cameron.
What are we looking at? Titanic. Well, obviously, it's his most...
This
and...
Avatar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it because, as we'll find out, this is where they had a major falling out.
Oh, and then did they make up for Avatar then?
No, for Titanic.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. James Horner was brought across to do the score with a view, as normal, of a 6 week turnaround to compose, you know, watch the rushes and compose the score, blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. But because of the issues that James Cameron had with filming in this country, things overran. And basically, he was given 2 weeks to write the score.
What?
2 weeks, yeah. And it got to a point where they were just about to go to screenings and things.
Yeah.
And they realised, with another re-edit, blah, 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 he hadn't been given the chance to write the final battle.
Holy shit.
So he basically had to write it in 2 or 3 days or 4 days, something like that. And there were major, major falling outs between the two. And they never worked together again for another 11 years.
Wow. I'm so glad they did work together 11 years though, because the score for Titanic is immense, isn't it?
Hard to Starboard is a work of genius.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, we can't talk about that because it's 90s. But yeah, so James Horner wrote the score. It's another very orchestral score. It's very sparse in places,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the quieter sort of creeping, encroaching menace moments where you'd expect something underneath, there's nothing. And that works really well in this.
I'm going to say I didn't notice the music, but I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it just, you know, it's kind of like going to the theatre, isn't it? Going, oh, I love the lighting and all this sort of stuff. Actually, I was so in the film that I did not notice the music at all. But if you were to play some for me now, I'd be like, oh, yeah, of course.
And it is there, and it punctuates, you know, the correct one. And, you know, like you say, you know, you didn't notice it. I went to see Tenet the other night. And I couldn't notice anything but the fucking score. But again, that's for a different time. But so yeah, the score is, you know, it's very subtle. It's a very subtle. It's very creepy and foreboding. It's a very militaristic score in places as well, and it obviously has the typical James Horner trope of the metallic clangs.
Right,
you get them all the time in pretty much every film I've seen him score, especially in Titanic and especially in this. But also, he uses elements of Gayane's ballet, which is I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Yeah. In fact, I was listening this afternoon.
Yeah, I thought you might. Yeah, no, in the opening and closing moments, there's elements of that. And also, when towards the end, the Dies Irae. You know the Dies Irae. We've done the Dies Irae.
Yeah, the Nintendo thing. Nintendo DS.
No. from the Catholic Mass. Da, 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 da. It's at the beginning of The Shining. It's used
oh, yes.
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, that's
in there as well. There's elements of that. So yeah, it's a really very...
Maybe I had my telly on mute because I should have paid more attention
to
the music.
It's very much in the background. It's very subtle. But it's definitely there. It's a really, even though he was given 2 weeks to write the whole thing, it's a really good score. Yeah, that's all I've got to say about the music, really.
Well, as I said, I didn't really notice it because I was so engrossed in the film. So,
yeah. And that's the way it should be. You know, like you say about theatre, you don't come out whistling the scenery. So.
No, exactly. But also, a good score should do that. It should take you into the film. I mean, yeah, in hindsight, you can look at it afterwards and go, oh, that was beautiful. Like Titanic, I'm pretty sure when I first watched it, I loved the music, but I didn't think about the music when I walked out. I thought about, yeah, everything that was going on in the film.
Exactly. It's there to enhance it, not draw focus.
Yeah. No, great. Oh, does that mean it's time, Darren?
I believe it's
yeah, time for pub quiz, isn't it?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo. Eyes down for a full house.
Okay, so regular listeners will know that we, at this point, we do ask each other questions and things like that. But I wanted to point something out.
What, yeah.
I mean, looking back, when we started with Lost Boys and stuff.
Over my shoulder.
Our questions were so much easier. Now, we are seriously trying to fuck each other over, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Like, it's not just a pub quiz now, it's become like... It's become like a mastermind challenge that you really have to notice every fucking detail in these films now because you think, I might be asked about this.
It's almost like you've read my first question.
Oh, no.
But then again, you know, if we didn't do this sort of thing, it would be too nice and too twee, blah, 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 blah. Why don't you write in and let us know? Do you want it to be nice and twee, or do you want us to try and fuck each
Absolutely.
Other?
Absolutely. Well, I think we need to make these questions really, because anybody can ask a question.
Yeah.
These need to be balls deep difficult.
Huh?
Balls deep difficult. All right.
Okay then.
Go on then, Darren. You go first.
Okay then. Question one.
Yes. Oh, no.
Just because you said it. It's just because you said it. And it is an observation one.
Okay.
Okay. What brand of cigarette is Ripley smoking in her apartment?
Right. Well, I'm going to have to just take a stab in the dark at this. I'm assuming it's not Reebok. I'm thinking who would be most likely to sponsor it, because that's what that I'm going to go with Marlboro.
Wrong.
Was it Paul Mull?
No, it was anything like that. It was literally, she was there with a cigarette. She takes it. It's a nice big close up. You just see across the fag, Silk Cut.
Silk Cut.
Silk Cut.
She was smoking Silk Cut.
She was smoking a Silk Cut.
Fuck's sake, Ripley.
Yeah.
Get yourself some Marlboro Lights or something. Right. Okay. Oh, question.
Yeah, this is when you're intentionally going to fuck me over now, isn't
no.
it?
No. Yeah. No. Question number one for you. What is Newt's given name?
It's something like Rebecca Jepson.
Okay, is that your answer?
Yeah, Rebecca Jepson.
You are so close.
I know. What is it?
Rebecca Jordan.
Jordan! I've always fucking hated Jordan. Jesus.
I've always hated Jordan.
That's the person, not the country, by the way.
So, damn it. Rebecca Jordan. Rebecca Jordan.
Okay, one to you then. That was very, very harsh. Okay, question two for you. Which do I go for?
Ooh, which one do I go for?
Which one do I go for? Well, we've got a couple of backups just in case. What corporation owns the terraforming operation?
Again, it's going to be a stab in the dark at this one. I mean, we've got really harsh compared to Lost Boys, haven't we? Terraforming for you.
That would have been a much better name.
I know, right?
But what is it? It's Weyland Yutani.
Weyland Yutani?
Yeah.
Weyland Yutani. No, I didn't know that. I did not. I didn't have a clue.
But it is definitely there. A lot.
All right. Question two.
Go on then.
What year does the film take place in?
I'm going to be... Can I have like 20 years either way or 30 years either way? Or do you want it bang on?
I want it bang on.
Oh, you fucker. 2167.
That was really close, though. If I'd have said yes, then 20 years either way.
What was it?
2179.
Oh, ball bags. Okay. That was pretty close, though.
Yeah, it was very close. I'm very impressed. It's a bit like my terraforming for you. It was really close.
Yeah, maybe I should have given you that.
No.
Okay. Question three for you, then. As you know, it's going to be a complete the quote.
Oh, fuck. Right, okay, point to you. Go on, then.
Right, I've got two. Which one do I go for? Actually, you can choose. One or two?
One.
Okay. It's between Hudson and Apone. Man, this floor is freezing.
Can you do it, like, more in character?
This floor is freezing!
I'll go fetch your slippers.
So close, but I'm not going to let you have it.
Right, okay.
What do you want me to do? Fetch your slippers for you?
No, seriously?
Yeah, that was it.
Wow.
Yeah, see, wow. If you'd given me the year, I might have been nice, but fuck you.
All right, okay. This could all change this then, Darren. All right.
Right.
So, question number three for you. What is the planet that they go to?
LV-426.
Yes. All right, there we go.
Woohoo!
Yeah. I learned that myself just in case it cropped up.
Nice. Yeah, it was one of the ones I considered. I thought, no, he's going to do that. I'm sure he's going to do that.
You were right. So so it's not just an aliens quiz. It's a psychological game of warfare between us both.
Okay, let's see if you've got any. Would have got any of the other questions.
Right, okay.
What does Vasquez have written on the side of a gun?
Oh, I don't know. Is it a name or something? Like a name of like Betty or something like that?
Adios.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. What is the name of the town on LV-426 where the colonists live?
No idea.
Hadley's Hope.
Right.
And the other one was another quote. It's Ripley and Newt. Ripley says, look, no bad dreams there. Newt says, Ripley, she doesn't have bad dreams.
Nope.
Because she's just a piece of plastic.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, see, yeah. I knew I was going to do very badly because it's a film I've seen once. It's not in my consciousness.
Yeah.
To be fair, I should have watched it again. But yeah.
It's okay.
Well, that's all right. It was really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's in this new round, it's two to me and none to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this always surprises me because you are the film buff.
But let's be honest, there are some really difficult questions.
I
suppose they're difficult if you don't know them.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
I guess so.
That's all right. It's okay. I like to be the underdog, Dad. You see, I like to
and then fight back at the end.
I like to do Rocky III or something like that.
Fight back at the end. Just you let us know when you're going to start fighting back.
I'll tell you for next week, maybe. Oh yeah.
Well, we don't know what next week is yet, do we?
No, we don't.
I don't.
Well. Do you want to go into Last Orders at the Bar?
I think we should, yeah.
Yeah.
Last Orders at the Bar, please! Last Orders at the Bar!
Okay, then. So,
here we are. That's Aliens.
That was Aliens. I enjoyed chatting about that one because it's a bit different than our normal episodes.
Outside of our normal genre.
It is outside our normal genre. And it was really good to kind of go really deep into a film that I've only seen once now, and what a film.
And a very serious movie as well for us. Obviously, there will be more serious ones as well, but we like to try and keep it light, and hopefully that the quiz thing has been a nice little light ending.
Well, we've had a lot of feedback as well that people do like the quiz.
Good, yeah.
I've got a question for you, though.
Yeah, okay. Do I get a point for this?
No, you don't. So, when you score your film, like we're going to do in a minute,
yes.
Do you like kind of finish the film, give it a score, or do you kind of wait till we're sat chatting about it and... Does that alter your opinion?
I have a score in mind when I finish. And then I think about it a bit more for a few hours or the next day or whatever. And sometimes that changes. A lot of times it doesn't. Sometimes I think of more justification for that score. But then again, when we're here sat talking about it, and that changes things sometimes as well. Yourself?
I think it's similar. I get an idea at the end of the film, but I don't really... It doesn't sort of form into a full-on score until we're sat here, we've talked about it, because I think some of the things you can say actually might influence how I feel about it and kind of go, maybe I was just in the... maybe I was in the moment and I've given it too much, or maybe I haven't given enough credit. So, yeah, it's nice.
But I'll be honest, I'm struggling a little bit with this one because... as much as I loved it, it's not the greatest film ever made. It is a fantastic film, and I don't want to take that away from it. But is it as worthy as some of the other films we watched? Or not, maybe not worthy. Is there a go-to element to it? Does it mean as much to me? So obviously these votes are very personal. So I'm struggling a little bit with which one I'm going to go with this, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll let you know where I'm going to go.
Okay.
Okay, so out of 10,
yeah,
I think I'd pitch this. I mean, it's so well made. James Cameron's a genius. There's some great performances. I was genuinely interested, and for a 34-year-old film, it felt very fresh, I guess.
Yeah, that it does have the ability to appear so current.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to give this, out of 10, 8.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I was really impressed. I was really impressed.
Yeah, see, this is where I'm struggling. Right, okay, I'm going to err on the side of caution, because even though I love this film, I do think the original, the first film, is better. Purely for me, from a personal point of view, I think the horror element, the creepiness of the first film works better. I mean, it does work in this film as well, but then it becomes a bit more T2, almost a bit more sort of Arnie in places, and the Marines do sort of ruin it a bit for me. But it's still a fantastic film, so I'm going to give it... I'm going to give it a 6.
No.
Yeah, it was a 6 or a 7 for me. I was really struggling.
I thought you were going to do a 7.
Yeah, yeah. But
a 6, though.
It's not a harsh mark.
It's not harsh.
That's a good 60%.
I know. 6.5, Daz.
well, that was it. Do it. Actually, yes. No, you're right. I'm going to go for 6.5.
Okay.
Yeah, because,
I'm only fighting for it because actually I was so... It's a new film for me. And I was like, come on, this is
a really good film. Which is why I was struggling between 6 and 7. But yeah, you're right. Actually, I'll go for 6.5.
Well, okay, folks. Well, what do you think? Let us know. Write into us at podcast@80sadventure.com, anything like that, or
get
on social media.
Anyways, it's great to hear from you.
And see how you felt about the film. But we want to say, you know, a big thank you to everyone out there for supporting us. Absolutely. And everything that you're doing. But I think you're going to want to know what next week is.
Well, yes. I guess we... Because I don't know what next week's is yet.
Well, no, because I haven't told you the result. So what we did... We put out to our patrons, we gave them a choice of two films and they voted. So yeah, next week we will tell you what the choices were. But for this week, our patrons voted on this. So here's the tagline. You ready for this, Daz?
I'm ready.
He always wanted to be special, but he never expected this.
Ooh.
I know, that is really cryptic though, isn't it? Some of them you kind of hear it and go, oh, that's really obvious.
I like that.
But all I know is... we've talked about this in the past. We've talked about this film in the past.
Okay.
All
right. Well, you're going to have to tell me at some point so I can watch the
film. Oh, yes, yeah, there is that. Amazing. Listen, anything else to say, Daz?
No, I don't think so. I love that film. I will watch it again. That's pretty much sums it up for me.
Yeah.
Great film.
Really enjoyed it. And it's, as you say, it's something different for us because you know, we've done a lot of comedies and this, that, and the other. Next week, though, I'm looking forward to next week. So hopefully.
Oh, he's got that grin on. I'm looking forward to that grin.
All right, then, folks. Well, listen, please always remember, get in touch. If you can do us a favor,
buy a t-shirt.
But also, the best way you can support our show is by telling a friend. Just tell a friend to listen.
And also, don't forget, you can win a t-shirt.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes.
You can win a t-shirt by leaving us a nice review. What?
Just a review. We can't say it, but if you can leave us a review on Apple or wherever
Why not?
Then...
That's the way Trump works, isn't it?
But yeah, if you want to leave us a review, then yes, you stand a chance at winning one of these very comfortable t-shirts that we're sat in right now.
Fantastic.
So until next week, I've been Matt.
And I am Darren.
Cheersy!
Cheersy!
Ten episodes here. We're
fucking
cast.
You are.